You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the latest FWA podcast. Dave Kellner here in the studio, and once again joined by one of the top football writers in the land. It's Neil Custis from The Sun, who covers Manchester United and Manchester City on the podcast this morning. First of all, good morning, Neil.
Hi, good morning.
A big weekend for both Manchester clubs, in fact, with Manchester City in action in the Capital One Cup final against Liverpool. And we'll speak about that game in a moment. And Manchester United entertaining Arsenal following their win against Midtjylland last night. Let's get stuck in, though. Let's get stuck into the big one, the Capital One Cup final this weekend, Neil. Liverpool versus Manchester City. Liverpool 21-10 to win this game. The draw 23-10 and Manchester City 13-10. Manchester City coming back from Kiev midweek, and that was some performance in Kiev, Neil. Very impressive.
Yeah, and we've been waiting for that performance from this Manchester City team for quite a number of years, I would say, in Europe. You know, a big night away from home when there's so much riding on it. And they produced what Manchester City can produce. Sadly, what we don't see enough of, certainly this season. But they had the spine of the team in Aguero, Yaya Toure, company in Hart, all back together down the middle there. And when those four are functioning in the way they did the other night, they are one of the best teams in Europe. And that was an excellent performance and sets them up, you know, nicely for Sunday, confidence-wise, in a game that they should win. But, as I've alluded to, you sometimes just don't know which City's going to turn up. Sometimes they turn up thinking they're going to win without doing what needs to be done. And other times they can produce what they did the other night, which, as you say, was extremely impressive.
Yaya Toure is something of an enigma, Neil, because he occasionally looks disinterested. I think that frustrates the fans, because we all know when he plays like he can do, like he did in that European fixture, that he can be explosive and dynamic and a real talisman for the team. But he sometimes looks disinterested.
Well, I mean, that's only been in, I would say, the last 12 months, I think. Okay. Before that, Yaya Toure was exceptional. I mean, one of the best players ever to play in the Premier League. The driving force in getting, the on-pitch driving force in getting this Manchester City revolution up and running. Always a big game player. Brilliant finisher, defensively strong, and then charging forward late in games to influence them. The guy's brilliant, and we can't judge him just on the last 12 months, because the previous 3 years or what have you have been exceptional. Mm. Could easily have been a player of the season, particularly under, when Mancini won the first title. But again, we see what he can do, and he has slowed down, and his influence has waned. But on nights, when he puts his mind to it, he can produce what he did the other night. And I think he's been moved recently from the sort of defensive midfield role further forward, in behind Aguero, and I think he's enjoying that. Responsibility and the destructive power he can unleash on a defence, because his physicality, he might not look like he's one of these players who doesn't look like he's sprinting, but seems to move extremely quickly. He's got this huge stride, and he can't knock him off the ball. He's just a big game player, and continues to be for City.
Yeah, I'm sure Manchester City fans will be hoping that he's effective in this Capital One Cup final on Sunday afternoon. Just to go back a few weeks to the announcement that Manuel Pellegrini will step away as boss in the summer, and Pep Guardiola will come in. So the timing of that announcement seems strange to many people, including myself. Neil, what did you read into that?
Well, I think the club will argue that had they not, even if they hadn't made it, the speculation would have continued. He would have been dogged with questions. It would have been hanging over him, and that would have, you know, and had the results not gone the right way, they would have been blamed for that. The fact that they've made the announcement now, they feel like they've got it out the way. And, you know, it's not like it didn't come as a shock to Pellegrini when he was appointed. He was made aware that their long-term target was Guardiola, and he would be the only manager, if he became available, who they would replace him with. So he was always aware of that. And I do think by making the announcement, they have sort of taken that away, and now it should be let's do it for Pellegrini. Now the results of late before Kiev were suggested they're not doing it for him, but they haven't played really well all season. You know, although they're contested for the title, they have not played as well as they can all season. So, nor last season really, it's not been a great period for City by the standards they set, you know, under Mancini and the first year of Pellegrini. So they were in a no-win situation, really. But I think they've actually done the right thing you know, without continuing with this charade, really.
What's your reading of the situation at Liverpool? Jurgen Klopp's come in there and maybe not made the progress that many anticipated with such a big name appointment. It's going to take Klopp time, obviously, but they don't seem to have progressed under him yet.
No, and you know, it maybe showed Brendan Rodgers, you know, that Brendan Rodgers suddenly wasn't a bad manager. He just has the same problems currently that the club had the same problems the club is currently experiencing himself. Now, you know, a new manager comes in and people, particularly when he's a big name manager, there is this expectation that they're just going to wave a magic wand and everything's going to be fine. Now, if it was as easy as that, I think Brendan Rodgers probably would have waived it, because he did pretty well in his time as manager at Liverpool and nearly won the title. So there's lots of things to sort out to get this Liverpool team into a title-winning team, and which currently they're a mile away from that. But you know, they've got a man who took on the big guns in Germany, came out the other side, winning the Bundesliga and getting to a European Cup final. So you know, they're in good hands.
What's your prediction for this Capital One Cup final, Neil?
I think City will win it, and I think they'll win it quite comfortably, probably, you know, maybe 2-0 or 3-0. Because they are, you know, that is if they, you know, they have their game ahead of them, which I'm sure they will for a big match like this. The only time they've really let the fans down at Wembley was the FA Cup final against Wigan. And even then they could have won that, but for an incredible save early on. I think City are by far the better team. I think City are the best team in the country. They won't win the league, I don't think, but they are the best team in the country. And when they're on form, you know, no one can beat them.
Manchester City to win the Capital One Cup final. We'll just quickly spin through the live televised Premier League matches this weekend, Neil. And West Ham Sunderland kickstarts the weekend. Lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. West Ham here with William Hill in the betting at 5-6, odds on to win this game. The draw 13-5, and Sunderland in the betting at 16-5. They've played some really good football this season, West Ham. The signing of Dimitri Payet looks inspired in the summer, and he's been absolutely sensational. Sunderland embroiled in that relegation battle, and this is Sam Allardyce's first trip back to the Bowling Ground as well this weekend.
Yeah, and he should get a great reception, and if he doesn't, I think it'll be pathetic and spiteful. He took the club up. He made them a solid Premier League side again. This nonsense about him not playing the West Ham way, whatever that is. You know, he had a... When he didn't have key players injured, he played a fast and exciting brand of football. He did a great job for that club, and if he gets booed when he returns there, as I say, I think it'll be pathetic. And I think what West Ham need to be aware of is that Sunderland got a great result before they went away on a warm weather train camp to Dubai and beat Manchester United. He's turned things around at that club. I think they'll stay up, and I think they'll get a result at West Ham.
Would you expect the draw maybe in this match?
Yes. Mm. Yes. But I don't see Sunderland losing, because I just think there's a man on a mission going back there.
13-5, the draw in the game, West Ham versus Sunderland. West Brom versus Crystal Palace is the tea time fixture at 5:30. This one, West Brom are 8-5 to win the game. The draw 2-1, and Crystal Palace in the market at 19-10. Both these teams, Neil, locked together on 32 points now, and both struggling a little bit in the Premier League. I know Crystal Palace got that big win in the FA Cup against Spurs. But West Brom have had the fewest shots on target this season, and Crystal Palace only scored 4 goals in their last 9 Premier League matches.
Yeah, the sort of Tony Pulis effect seems to be on the wane slightly there. You know, and he came out in the week talking about how, you know, he'll sit down with the chairman at the end of the season. That's always a bad omen when someone says that. It seems to suggest that, you know, I'll probably be off.
Yeah.
I don't think he should be, because I think he's perfectly suited to that sort of club. A good manager, as he's proved everywhere he's been, not least at Palace, of course, who he revived from a desperate situation before falling out with the chairman there. Palace themselves, they're as impressive as they are disappointing from week to week. I mean, but the win at Tottenham was an excellent win, and I think takes them into this game as favourites.
They are. It's pretty tight in the betting, actually. West Brom just marginal favourites in this game, 8-5. The draw 2-1, and Crystal Palace in the betting at 19-10. I suppose Crystal Palace need Emmanuel Adebayor to step up, don't they? They bought him in the transfer window, and he usually does well at the start of his tenure at a club, but then it slowly drifts off for Adebayor. They need him to score a few goals.
Well, I mean, it's just he's got everything to be an almost unplayable striker on his day. I saw him at Manchester City. He played 4 good games, scored against his old club Arsenal, and then basically gave up the ghost. He's wasting his talent. I don't know why Pardew took a punt on him. I mean, people do in the hope that, you know, that they're going to get the best out of them, in the way people keep taking punts on Mario Balotelli, someone with all the talent in the world, but with the wrong attitude. We've been saying whatever manager needs Adebayor to step up, and we don't often see that step.
At the last game this weekend, Neil, the other Manchester club in action, Manchester United take on Arsenal at Old Trafford on Sunday afternoon. Manchester United 11-5 to win this game, the draw 11-5, and Arsenal in the betting at 13-10. The reverse fixture at the Emirates was one of Louis van Gaal's lowest moments this season, Neil. They were mauled inside the opening 20 minutes, eventually lost the game 3-0. That will be, I'm sure, on the minds of the players, although not many of the players that played in that match will play in this one, because they've been hit with injuries, Manchester United, badly, and we saw the team they had to field against Midtjylland last night, Neil.
Believe me, there's been a lot lower moments than losing away at Arsenal. They've got 14 injuries, but in a bizarre way, it almost galvanised the club and the players. There was a feeling in the Europa League match against Midtjylland on Thursday night that it was, you know, they were the underdogs in it, and it really brought out a great atmosphere at Old Trafford. Old Trafford wasn't full, top tier of the Alex Ferguson stand was closed. First time I can remember part of the ground being closed off for a first team game. But those there, and it was still a healthy crowd, really got behind the side, and seeing what Marcus Rashford did was tremendous. And, you know, they love getting behind the young players who've come through, and particularly a local player like Marcus. He took his goals brilliantly. And there was a real togetherness there. Now, you know, it's one thing playing Denmark's third best team and another one playing English football's probably second best team, which they're going to be facing in Arsenal on Sunday. So that's going to be a different matter altogether. You know, they've got 2 young fullbacks, which Sunderland exploited in the second half of the game at the Stadium of Light when they beat them. The Arsenal defence will be a different matter for Marcus Rashford, who has a chance of starting. But there will be a great atmosphere because there will be, you know, this feeling that, you know, our young and battered team is coming up against, you know, the title chasing Arsenal, and that they would love to get one over them. So, but I would expect Arsenal to win. I would expect them to. I thought they played very well against Barcelona despite the defeat, and I would expect them to win.
That was one of the first times that Arsene Wenger's come out and publicly criticised his team for their naivety in a post-match press conference, Neil. I was surprised to hear that because Wenger's usually pretty guarded in that respect.
Yeah, I was a bit. I mean, they were naive in the sense that I think they got carried away with their ambition because they were on top for a period and they did look like they could win the game, and they got more and more ambitious. I think it was, you know, they just got carried away with their own ambition. Is that a bad thing? Well, yeah, probably is for a manager. But, you know, they thought they'd handled Suarez and Messi and Neymar, and they had to a great extent. They were applying some pressure of their own. They had chances of their own. And then suddenly, you know, biff, bang, wallop, the tie was all over. And that's what Barcelona can do to you in an instant. You know, Manchester United under Sir Alex at their very best could do that to you in an instant when you think you're on top of them. The great teams do. You know, the great teams await their chance. They don't pile pressure on you necessarily all game. You know, they're patient and they wait their chance, and then that's what Barcelona did. So that was the frustration, that he almost had a game plan to actually hold on until the last 20 minutes and then maybe nick it. And they did, they held on to it, and then Barcelona nicked it. So I think that was the frustration for him.
Arsenal to win this game 13-10. Just back to Manchester United for a moment. One last question. Is there any truth in the rumour that Jose Mourinho is going to arrive in the summer?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, there has been contact. He is sat there waiting. I do expect the Van Gaal reign to come to an end in the summer, and I do expect Mourinho to come in. If by some miracle he wins the Europa League or the FA Cup, and I say miracle because they're just not consistent enough, and you know, for every good game they'll play two bad ones, and we can't get carried away by Shrewsbury away and Midtjylland at home. You know, let's not, you know, decry those results. They played very well against both teams, but, you know, Shrewsbury and Midtjylland were probably on a par with each other, and Shrewsbury are trying to stay in League One at the minute. So Sunday, it would be easier to answer that question after Sunday in terms of Van Gaal, but I do expect change. It can't go on the way it's been going on for the last 18 months.
Manchester United to be beaten by Arsenal on Sunday afternoon, then a 13-10. Neil, thank you for your company on the podcast.
Okay, I've enjoyed it.
At NCustis the Sun, if you want to follow Neil on Twitter and you're not already doing so. Once again, thank you to Neil. Thank you everyone for listening as well, and we'll be back with another guest on the FWA podcast next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.